start coughing up blood, safe to say, something is probably very wrong. But even if your doctor suspects that you have tuberculosis, getting the diagnosis could take up to 6 weeks. And if that was me, I would not be super excited about that timeline. There's got to be a quicker way, right? Well, there is a team of researchers from around the world that are working on it. On this episode of the Oxford Sparks Big Questions podcast, we are asking, is there a faster way to diagnose tuberculosis? Hello, I am Emily Elias, and this is the show where we seek out the brightest minds at the University of Oxford, and we get them to weigh in on the tricky questions, the big questions, if you will. And to talk TB, we are heading to the John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford.
Hi, my name's Philip Fowler. I'm a senior researcher here at the University of Oxford, and I study antibiotic resistance.
In particular, Philip studies tuberculosis. It is a bacterial disease that attacks the lungs. It's got a few distinct features, and one is that it is a very slow disease. And by that I mean it grows very slowly inside your lungs, and in the worst case scenario, it can be fatal.
Yeah, TB is an interesting disease because you see it in opera, so you see it in Lab OM, you see Mimi coughing into her handkerchief and it's stained with blood. And it's tragic. Ultimately, she dies. You see it in Moulin Rouge. And also, I've been working with a historian in the US. She's been looking at how it influenced fashion in the first half of the 19th century. So people actually tried to make themselves look as if they had TB. The idea was that, you know, particularly with poets dying young from tuberculosis, and it was a sort of romantic way to go. Whereas, you know, in reality, it was responsible for quite a large proportion of deaths in the UK in the 19th century.
But TB is not confined to the past. According to Public Health England, England still has one of the highest rates of TB in Western Europe, with just over 5,000 people affected in 2017. And TB is still one of the leading causes of death worldwide. Get this, 1.5 million people die of tuberculosis each year.
TB has sort of been with us, been with the human race for a very long time. It's really well adapted to living in us, and it's a difficult bacterium to get rid of, to treat. So even if you have sort of normal TB that's not resistant to any antibiotics, it's still going to take, say, 6 months of treatment. And that would be four different antibiotics for 2 months, then dropping down to two. It's just difficult to get rid of. And even if you think you might have got rid of it, it can come back. It's awkward.
And it's not just that it takes a long time to treat, Philip says. The problem with TB is that it also takes a long time to diagnose.
I'm not a clinician, but what I understand is you would cough into a pot, a thing called a sputum pot, and then that would be sent off to one of the, in this country or in England, one of the Public Health England reference laboratories. And historically what they would have done, you know, like with lots of other bacterial diseases, they would essentially grown it until they've got enough of it, essentially, and then try different antibiotics to see which ones would work, which ones would kill it, essentially, or stop it growing, and then feed that information back to the clinician, and then they would know what to treat you with. So the problem with growing it up like that is that because TB grows so slowly, that's kind of its defining characteristic. That's why it takes so long to treat. That's why it progresses very slowly. But it also means it takes a long time to grow in the laboratory. You know, those sorts of diagnostic tests would take about 6 to 8 weeks. So you can imagine, and it's not happened to me, but you can imagine you go to see the doctor, you'd cough into the pot and they'd say, well, you know, we just have to wait 6 weeks and we'll find out whether it's susceptible, which it probably is. But even so, I wouldn't want to wait 6 weeks, right?
Philip knows just how hard the waiting period can be. He's only been working on TB for about 2 years. He actually started his career working in physics, but changed specialty largely because of his daughter.
And then actually one of my kids got a resistant infection. And she's fine, but obviously you see the other side and you appreciate, you know, the importance of researching antibiotic resistance and tackling it. But it's pretty scary because time drags. So when, like with TB, we're talking about, oh, 6 weeks, or, you know, I remember waiting, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours for the lab here in the hospital to report back what they thought it was. And that's, you know, you're sitting there, that's a long time. Even just speeding things up a little bit actually makes a big difference.
And last year, there was a breakthrough. Public Health England started using genome sequencing to isolate different strains of the bacteria.
There's been a lot of talk about, you know, the Human Genome Project and people having their, you know, their entire DNA sequenced. But the great thing is, because of all that progress in technology, essentially, in making it faster and cheaper and easier, because bacteria have relatively small genomes, so TB is about 4.5 million bases, it's actually comparatively easy and cheap to sequence bacteria. What we've done, from about a year ago, Public Health England instead now use genetics. So they grow the TB for a little bit to get a bit more of it, and then they simply sequence the whole genome of the bacterium. And then what you do is, by comparing the genetic sequence to a known genetic sequence, you work out what all the differences are, the mutations, and you can feed the results back to the clinician in sort of 9 or 10 days, so a lot quicker.
But not all TB is equal. There's some that is resistant to antibiotics, and there is some that's not. So wouldn't it be great if there was this giant catalog of tuberculosis genomes that doctors could use as a cross-reference? So when they get the test results back, they know not only if you have TB or not, but what type of TB you may have and what's the best way to treat it. Oh wait, that is exactly what they are doing. It is called the genome catalog.
So if we have a good comprehensive catalog, what that means is when someone's TB is sequenced, we can actually confidently say which antibiotics will work or not. If we sequence the genome of their infection and we find mutations that we haven't seen before, or we've only seen a couple of times, so we're not completely sure what they do, then actually we're forced to say, actually, we don't know. So we're not sure, and maybe that sample then has to go down the traditional route where it's grown up and it might take 6 to 8 weeks. So really, the name of the game is to get that catalogue as comprehensive as possible, so we can be as accurate as possible, but also give an answer in as many cases as possible. What we've done here in Oxford is we're leading this large international consortium called Cryptic that involves sort of a growing number of labs around the world, over a dozen now, who will be collecting samples of TB from patients in their country. Each sample will then have its genome sequenced, and we can look at that. So this is a very large project. It's been going a bit over 2 years now. It was funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and then also the Wellcome Trust and the MRC through the Newton Fund.
This brings us to Philip's project. It is called Bash the Bug. Basically, there are labs around the world that are growing samples of TB in these specially designed trays that have 96 little wells in them. The tray itself is about the size of a smartphone, and in each of these tiny little wells, there is some TB bacteria, and there is a different dose of various antibiotics.
So say you have a particular dose in one well, then the next well has double that dose, and then the next one will have double, and then double again, and double again, and double again, all the way up to however many wells there are, so whether there's 5, 6, 7, or 8. And then what happens is, in the lab, is after they've grown the TB sample for a little bit, it's inoculated onto the plate, so it has this sort of fancy automatic machine that squirts a known amount into the bottom of each of the wells. And then they incubate it for 2 weeks, and then basically you have a look at it. And if you can see something growing, then that means that the antibiotic isn't effective at that concentration. And so you have to look at the higher concentrations. And what we're trying to measure is the lowest dosage or concentration actually kills the bug or stops it working.
But there is a slight problem. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these little trays that need to be examined. So they made it a citizen science project with Zooniverse. Philip posts pictures of the trays online, and he asks normal folks like us to look at the pictures and report if they see any TB growing in the little wells. For each image, 15 people look at it, and Philip takes a consensus of what their opinions are.
I remember, so the project is sent out by the Zooniverse for testing, so it's sent to some experienced volunteers, and I was sitting at home, this was sort of last March, and just watching all the people come onto the project and start doing classifications, and it was just, you know, we had, I don't know, sort of 10 times the number I was expecting, just seeing it mount up. And then, you know, you look back on it, and if you're not careful, it's quite easy to get blasé, but, you know, we've had over 10,000 people try it out, and they've done 750,000, which is just astonishing. So that's really awesome.
And there is one volunteer who is particularly awesome.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Barton, and I'm from Belgium, and I work as a secretary in a reinsurance company.
Elizabeth is the record holder. She is a classification machine. She has looked at over 22,000 images.
I really like it. For me, it can be really relaxing to do this after a hard day's work, and you just come home and you say, okay. And then you've got these images. They're not the most spectacular of images to see, but it really helps to relax for me. And you know you're helping science move along, so what's not to like?
Philip says the goal is to classify at least 1 million of these images so that the genetic catalog has a really complete listing for tuberculosis and people can get treated with the right medication even faster.
Antibiotic resistance is something that affects us all. And particularly in the UK, I think everyone understands it. They understand why it's important. But yeah, you can help us classify these images, and by doing that, we'll be able to improve diagnosis and treatment of TB, not just in this country, but also around the world.
This podcast was brought to you by Oxford Sparks from the University of Oxford, with music by John Lyons and additional music from Lee Rosevere. And a special thanks to Dr. Philip Fowler. You can join the fight against antibiotic resistance by going to bashthebug.net. Tell us what you think about this podcast. You can find us on Twitter and tweet at Oxford Sparks. You can find us on Facebook. And of course, we have a website, oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk. I'm Emily Elias. Bye for now.